Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22 is where we want to read today. Ephesians 2, 11 through 22.
Jesus Christ, Jew and Gentile alike, can become one in you and be added to that
is that you are building around the world. You are building your church. You are drawing people unto Christ. And we praise you that we can be a part of that. Pray that each one that's even here this morning truly knows you as their own personal Savior. If there's any here or listening out on the internet that have never truly repented of their sin and truly put their faith alone in the finished work of Christ, they might do that even this day. We thank you again that you have blessed us, our folks, our church family members, with good health. Continue to do that very thing. We ask for those that are in authority over us, from the lowest level to the highest level in the land. Praise you, Father, that the powers that be are ordained of you. We may not agree with everything that they're doing. Pray that you would guide them to make right decisions. Pray especially for our president, those that are his advisors, members of his team. We pray that you would show them the way to lead our country. We ask, Lord, that as our nation is preparing for even the presidential election in just a few months, we ask, Father, that you would work in hearts. Come November, your will be done. You know who ought to be leading our country. We're looking to you. We're trusting you. Thanking you for those in leadership. We just pray that your will would impress upon each of our hearts in the coming days. Now we pray that we might have the working of the Holy Spirit to teach us and instruct us, to show us the truth and how it applies to our own hearts and lives. We wait on you. We thank you in your name. And you may be seated. If you have been with us in recent weeks, you know that we have been talking about some of the foundations in Scripture. We have spent a number of weeks looking at the topic with the word foundation or foundations, the foundation of the world. We've looked at things like God's question to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" We've talked about how that someone who is going to lay the foundations for the earth, the universe, had to have unlimited knowledge and power. And we saw God as omniscient and omnipotent. And we saw how that there was reference to before the mountains were ever created, God was there, and we saw that pointed to his eternal existence. We saw that in that word foundation, we discovered that it was God's will. He foreordained the work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come and be our Savior through the death, burial, and resurrection that the Lord Jesus accomplished. God foreordained that before the foundation of the world. And it was a couple of weeks ago, the last time we were able to be with you, we saw that in Ephesians 1:4, we learned that Paul said, according as he has chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We saw that as difficult as it is to understand, how it's a marvelous truth that our salvation, if you know the Lord as your own personal Savior. God, we see we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. And we saw that balance which is necessary to get the full picture. We saw, yes, none can come unto the Father except the Father draw him. And yet we also learned the truth of the Scripture in place after place. Whosoever will may come, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Mystery, but we believe. We believe both. We don't deny the one and emphasize the other because we can't see in our little brains how that can work together. The secret things belong to God, Deuteronomy 29:29, and the things that are revealed, that belongs to man. If you knew everything that God knows, you know what that would make you? Yeah, that would make us God. So don't let it bother you that, well, I just can't understand how. I can't explain how. God can, and we thank Him for it. And we praise Him for it. Well, we're going to shift our gears just a little bit on our foundation study this morning. We're going to continue on with the scriptural foundations, but we find that, as we saw here in Ephesians 2:19-20, let me read that again, Paul made reference to this. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He referred to the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and as he was writing to this group of readers there at the city of Ephesus, he talked about how they themselves, their faith was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Keep that thought in mind, though, as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we see in verse 10, Paul said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is what? The foundation of the apostles and the prophets? No. What is the only foundation according to 1 Corinthians 3? It's whom? Is Jesus Christ. So which foundation is the foundation of our faith? Have we discovered a contradiction in Scripture? Do we find a conflict here? How should we approach this? Our title this morning of our message is, So Which One Is It? Is it the foundation of the apostles and the prophets? Or is the foundation of our faith on the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul said back there in Ephesians, you're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. But here in 1 Corinthians, he says there is no other foundation. How are we supposed to interpret this? I'd like to suggest that we need to take a careful and a close look at both passages to get the complete picture. there to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to take us back to verse 5 in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul said here, "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, I, Paul, have planted. Apollos, he watered the seed that I planted. But God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God." Paul here in these verses was just reviewing. You see, at the church of Corinth, there was a carnal, fleshly strife that had riddled the church there in Corinth. And he mentioned it in these early verses of this third chapter. It was partyism. Partyism. What the Corinthian believers were guilty of doing is there were some who were saying, "I am a follower of Paul and his teachings." There was another group that would say, "Well, we're more spiritual than you, because after Paul, Apollos came along, and we're more spiritual than you." And it was causing factions. And in these verses that we read, starting at verse 5, Paul said, I planted the seed and Apollos watered, but the truth is, God gave the increase. He said, "You people, you got yourself following a celebrity, following a personality, following an individual, when you ought to be realizing that we were opponents against each other. We were comrades, and we're telling you the same thing. We're just, the one is just building on the truth that the other one has given." And so he said, "We're just fellow laborers together with Christ." Verse 9. And he said, "You are God's husbandry. You're the garden. You're the plant. You're the one that has been the recipients of it." And then he says, "You are God's building." We find that sometimes in the New Testament, God's work is referred to as a living organism, like I plant the seed, this one waters, God gives the increase. Then he switches gears and he says, "You're God's building." It's a structure that's being built. "According to the grace of God," verse 10, "which is given unto me as a wise master builder." He's not talking about a gardener anymore. Now he's using the picture of as a master builder. As a wise master builder. Where did he get that wisdom? You say, "Well, he was born with it." No, it wasn't. You remember his testimony. You remember after the Lord stopped him in his tracks on the road to Damascus in the book of Acts. After he was saved, Paul had a special 3-year ministry. He was schooled off by himself. By whom? Who was his teacher? The Lord himself. He told him to go off over here, and during those 3 years, God personally instructed. Paul sat, you might say, at the feet of Jesus for 3 years, receiving instruction. as the Lord was giving Paul insight, understanding, and that's where Paul got this wisdom. And so what Paul is saying, as a wise master builder, I have used what God gave me. And it says, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Laying the foundation, is that the same thing as the foundation? Yes or no? No. You're all asleep. Wake up, folks. I know it's hot, but let's wake up here. I was thinking this morning, can't remember whether it was the year of 85 or 86, but the church decided, the church voted to build a garage and attach it to the church parsonage over here. We had in 86, we had a 3-year-old son at that particular time. 2 or 3-year-old son. And you know, there's nothing more interesting to a 2 or 3-year-old boy than for somebody to begin to bring equipment over there that is going to be doing things in the yard. And back then, there was a man who lived just across the street here who had a trenching business. He had a Ford tractor that had that nice piece of equipment on the back that you could set how deep that device would go, and it was on a chain, and it would go down and it would dig and spit the dirt out on both sides on a little conveyor. And he volunteered to dig the 42-inch depth for the foundation, for the garage. And so he came, and there was my boy, all eyes. Boy, there's a tractor, and it's right here. And it was plowing up the ground, and it was making the dirt piles. And Stan, who lived across the road, he got it all, everything was all squared, right depth, and then the cement truck came. That's really exciting for a little boy to have a cement truck back in there and begin to pour 42 inches deep of that wet cement. All of that went on, and then the steel was put in there when it was firming up so that you could attach the two-bys to the foundation once it hardened. All of that in this illustration is what? That wasn't the foundation. That wasn't the finished product. All of that effort was to do what? To lay the foundation. Nobody that was working there, Jonathan and others that were working at that time, we didn't think that this was the foundation. We were laying the foundation. It was in process. And all of these steps, a few days later, when it was all nice and dry, we could walk around it and we could look at it and we could say, well, there it is. There's the foundation. Why are you saying that, Pastor? Because we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said, I have laid the foundation as a wise master builder. But I'm not the foundation. I laid it. And he said, doesn't matter who adds to it, they need to be careful how they build on the foundation that I laid. Well, what is the foundation? Verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, he said, there is no other foundation for our faith than that which I laid and others added to it, which is whom? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we weren't building a foundation glorifying this portion of the foundation. Boy, this really glorifies the Apostle Paul. Or this one over here. Boy, this one really glorifies Peter or Apollos or someone else. He said, no, we were just the vessels that God used to lay the foundation, and the foundation we were laying was truth and doctrine concerning not ourselves, but concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, the basis of your faith. You see, the foundation is what holds everything up. The foundation is what a building is attached to. You say, but the foundation is, you don't see much of that foundation that was poured, do you, there? No. But we're sure glad it's there. That garage has withstood some pretty good windstorms since either 85 or 86 when it was completed. You know, when we hear the winds blow, they talk about high wind warnings. We don't, Jerry and I don't sit in the house and fret and worry, oh, I wonder if that garage is going to hold. I wonder if it's going to stay. No. They put down a solid foundation. And so we find here, Paul is reviewing his ministry here in 1 Corinthians, ministry of others, the contributions that they have made. I planted, this one watered. But don't forget, God is the one that brought all of the increase. And Paul and others laid the foundation, they poured the concrete, if we can use that as an illustration. And others contributed to it. But when it was all said and done, it was, as you looked at it, who is the foundation? Who is the foundation? Verse 11, Christ. Christ is the foundation. Now this isn't something new. This is something that we can go back, for instance, Isaiah 28, verse 16, and we see Isaiah the prophet prophesied this very thing concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 28, 16, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a tested one, a solid one, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste or be forced to flee. Isaiah the prophet, hundreds of years before the Lord came, gave this prophecy that there would be this foundation laid in Zion. In Acts chapter 4, we find that the apostles made reference to this in some of their teaching. In Acts chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. As Peter was speaking, defending the faith, as those Jewish people came and challenged them, asking by what authority, who do you men think you are that you can stand here in the temple and talk about these things? This is blasphemy. This is against Jehovah our God. And Peter, in verse 10, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand whole here before you. They had healed the man, and they were being challenged. Who gave you that authority? And Peter said, it's by the name of the one you crucified and rejected, but God raised him from the dead. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we raise this one up. We heal him. But look at verse 11. This Jesus of Nazareth, this is the stone that was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. That's Isaiah 28, 16. And here we see Peter pull that reference from Isaiah, and he said, he's the one Isaiah the prophet was talking about when he said he would be coming. He's the foundation stone that we've waited hundreds of years for. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we notice in verses 6 through 8 these words. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Those of you that have accepted him as your personal Savior, he's priceless to you. He's precious. But unto them which be disobedient, have no interest in him, the stone which the builders disallowed or rejected, the same has become the head of the corner, the cornerstone. And he's also become a stone of stumbling, a stumbling block. Don't you see it? As you think about sharing your faith with the Lord Jesus Christ and those that don't want anything to do with him. So many times, don't talk to me about your Jesus. I don't want to hear about him. He's a stumbling stone to them. But Peter said, for those of you that have, by grace through faith, accepted him, you believed in him, he's precious. He's priceless in value to you. So in verse 8, he's become a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So we see the foundation of the church is Christ. We can understand that of his person, or of the doctrine of him, we discover when it says, what do you mean the foundation is Christ? Well, it's that truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we think of it, there's several ways we can think of it. Number one, as we think of him as the foundation stone, we can think of him as the incarnate Son of God. He is referred to in the scripture as the head of the church which is his body. And as head, he's the source of life. He's the foundation. It all depends and rests upon him. In another sense, he is the foundation or the cornerstone because on him all the members of the church, notice Paul referred to that building of God, all depend upon him, they rest upon him. for salvation. And the picture is given how that even there in Ephesians we read different members being added. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Paul used that picture, how that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, and so on. We find that Paul and Peter use the picture of different members being added to either the body, in that picture, added to the body, or as building stones. Each one is considered a building stone, whichever picture, whichever way you want to think about it, as Christ the foundation. The last way we would suggest the truth, the doctrine, the teachings concerning the Lord Jesus Christ is the fundamental doctrine of the gospel. That's where we see him as our foundation. So Paul has been teaching his readers that everything in and of his ministry here in 1 Corinthians 3 was centered or founded on the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's change gears and let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and let's see, secondly, what Paul has to say there. In Ephesians 2, especially verses 19 through 22, in his instruction to the believers at Ephesus, Paul is reminding them of the foundational truth which they had received from the apostles and the prophets regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, he says here in verse 19, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." He had been talking about how that Jew and Gentile alike, through the marvelous work and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, were one in him. And he was talking to these Jewish, or these Gentile readers especially. He said, yeah, there was a time when you were strangers, foreigners. You were outside of the group, so to speak. You weren't one of the members, but thank God, because of Christ, Jew and Gentile are one. And now you're just one big family in Christ. And you're a part of what God is building. He's building a habitation for himself. And each and every one who comes to Christ as his or her own personal Savior, they are a part of that living temple or building that God is making as each and every person becomes a family member of that. So, he said, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. What is he referring to here? He's referring to, beloved, the very thing that Paul referred to back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As he said, I laid the foundation, others built on it. What Paul is referring to here is not contradictory truth. He is just reminding his readers of the importance of what they had been taught by the apostles and the prophets. The teaching of both of those groups, and they were two different groups mentioned later on in Ephesians 4, God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, and so on. This was something God had given the church. These were specially gifted individuals in ministries. The teaching that had been put forth by the apostles and the prophets had been authoritative truth concerning the Lord. It had been authoritative truth. Why do we say authoritative? Because what they taught, they got from the Lord. God had given them their messages. The importance of it is seen in the fact that at this time, as Paul is writing them, the New Testament scriptures were not complete like you and I have today. The New Testament was still being written. And Paul was emphasizing upon his readers the importance of them adhering to, the importance of them treasuring, the importance of them grabbing a hold of and keeping what they had been taught through the apostles and prophets concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. How does he fit into this picture? Verse 20. Jesus Christ himself is the chief what? The chief cornerstone of the foundation. The chief cornerstone. I'd like you to listen to a couple of individuals as they offer perhaps their comments concerning this teaching of the apostles and the prophets. For instance, John MacArthur said, the foundation of the apostles and prophets refers to the divine revelation that they taught, which in its written form we call now the New Testament. But at that time, it was verbal. It was being written down. The meaning is not that the apostles and the prophets were themselves the foundation, but that they laid the foundation, just like we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we find their unique function of both of these groups was to authoritatively speak the Word of God to the church in the years before the New Testament was complete. And so Paul was encouraging them to remember the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. John Stott, another author, has this to say: nothing is more important to any edifice than a solid, stable foundation. On what rock, then, is the church built? Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, on this rock I will do what? Build my church. What rock? Peter? Sorry, Catholics. That's not right. That's not what he was saying. And we're sorry that you've been misled all these years. That's not what he was talking about. Upon what rock, then, is the church built? Paul replied here in verse 20, it was built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. The apostles and prophets were groups that had a teaching role. And we find that the church's foundation is neither their person nor their office, but it was their instruction. That's what Paul is referring to. Not them, not the office they held, but the instruction that they gave. Moreover, we are to think of them as inspired teachers. organs of divine revelation, bearers of divine authority. What these two groups taught, they expected the church to believe and to preserve. And what they commanded, they expected the church to obey. You see, the significance of the apostles and the prophets and the foundation concerning them is they bore witness to Christ, whose teaching was derived from revelation and was foundational. What this means in practical terms is that the church is built on the New Testament scriptures. They are the church's foundation documents. And just as a foundation cannot be tampered with, once it has been laid and the superstructure is built upon it, so the New Testament foundation of the church cannot and ought not to be changed by additions, subtractions, or modifications by someone who comes along later on, even in this day and age. The foundation is secure, beloved. And that foundation is the truth that we find revealed to us concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no contradiction. There is no conflict, as I brought both of these passages to your attention. I trust their foundation. I trust that you understand that their foundational teaching was directly connected and directly contributed to the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, who Paul refers to here in Ephesians as the cornerstone. We don't understand the significance of cornerstones in this day and age in modern building. Oftentimes, cornerstones today become ornamental showpieces. Now, have you ever noticed there is a little cornerstone as you walk up the sidewalk? How many of you ever seen that? So I haven't seen that. Look, I'm not going to tell you where to find it along the sidewalk if you haven't seen it. That's an assignment for you. I heard you got an assignment last week from Pastor Odell. Well, there is one. There's a cornerstone out there. But in days of old, cornerstones were very important. Liberty Study Bible has this sentence to say, Oriental structure placed greater importance on the cornerstone than on the foundation itself. Why? Because the cornerstone connected the walls, and it concentrated the weight of the entire building on itself. Does that surprise you that our Lord is referred to as the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone? You see, we look at these things and we say, I don't understand the significance of that. So he's a decorative piece of granite or something there. No, that was not the cornerstone of the Oriental buildings. The cornerstone of the Oriental buildings was functional, necessary. Everything depended on that cornerstone. So what are we to learn from this? We should have a renewed love for and adherence to the written Word of God. which connects us to the foundation of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let anybody take you away from the truth of Scripture, beloved. Don't buy into some of the things that are prevalent out there in our world. Some of the additions, modifications of men, of those who would tell us, well, you know, that used to be important, but, you know, this is modern times, and that's not important anymore. No. God has given us His Word. And the foundation of your faith and mine, beloved, is the truth concerning our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which has been revealed to us in His Word. Treasure it. Demand it. Don't bargain it away. I close with one final statement from John Stott. The church stands or falls by its loyal dependence on the foundation truths which God revealed to His apostles and prophets, and which are now preserved in the New Testament Scriptures. Shall we close in prayer? Thank you, Father, for this look that we could see today in this precious truth. Thank you for the ministry of those individuals in days gone by. We thank you for the work of the apostles and prophets in those early years. We thank you for the foundation truths that they laid, which all pointed to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, your word has told us that in the last days, men are going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. In the end times, there's going to be the tendency to turn away one's ears from the truth and to instead heap to ourselves teachers having itching ears that will tell us what we want to hear. Oh, we see it so prevalent in so many assemblies, so many churches in our day and age. They no longer proclaim the truth, but they're helping people feel good about themselves because they're not telling them about their sin and the good news about the Savior who came to die for lost sinful men. Oh Lord, may we dedicate ourselves to the truth. For your glory we pray. Amen.